Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, and my name is Sarah Barufka. In today's show, we bring you a report on the poetry of Ivan Blatný, a long-term patient in a psychiatric hospital in England, in this edition of Books. Then Christian Falvey has a new edition of Science Journal, and later on David Vaughan brings us an episode of From the Archives. All that coming up, so do stay with us. In the newest edition of Czech Books, we hear about Bixley Remedial School, one of the most remarkable collections of Czech poetry from the second half of the 20th century. At the time it was first published in the early 1980s, its author Ivan Blatný was a long-term patient in a psychiatric hospital in England. A new edition of the collection reminds us that Blatný's poetry is far from being the mere scribbling of a madman. David Vaughan reports.
Ivan Blatný was the first Czech writer to defect after the communists came to power, settling in England just a few weeks after the coup of February 1948. At just 29, he was already one of Czechoslovakia's most admired poets. But shortly after his exile began, Blatný suffered a nervous breakdown. He never fully recovered and spent most of the rest of his life in various psychiatric institutions. But that was not the end of his career as a poet. He continued writing until the day he died in August 1990, and some of his most interesting and innovative poetry was written in the 1970s and early 80s when he was a patient at St. Clement's Psychiatric Hospital in Ipswich, some 75 miles northeast of London. Here is his poem, Spring, in a translation by the Scottish poet Edwin Morgan.
Spring. A cauliflower settles on the roof of a bungalow. A swallow returns. You watch it in the sky. And early buds are tight as bronze. They glow. The dung cart's waiting, as in times gone by. The heavens purr and snore. They are sleeping still. But it will clear up, but it will be a fine day. A train whistles in the distance, distance whistles. In the distance, silver drops tap planes in play. In the playground, boys at goalposts in their tracksuits. A cauliflower settles on a spruce new basket. Good French sun, come and bless us with your light. I would love to be off. I'm opening the door. I would love to be off. On the Riviera shore, I'd see the sky and the whole world grow bright.
In 1979, the émigré writer and publisher Józef Skvoretsky put together a hasty collection of Blatný's poetry and published it as Stará bydliště, or Old Abodes. It included the poem we've just heard. Immediately afterwards, Blatný began work on another collection, this time called Pomocná škola Bixley, Bixley Remedial School, Bixley being the name of one of the wards in St. Clement's Hospital. The poetry in the collection is remarkable, moving between different genres and even languages. This is how Robert Pinson from the University of London summed up the qualities of Blatný's late poetry when I interviewed him in 2007.
He has fused the naive, almost puerile, writing of the beginning of his career with the avant-garde, to create a strange sort of patchwork, sort of writing that works. One can speak of a certain passivity in him before, in keeping to rhythm, letting the mechanics of poetry carry him along. So now his illness, one combines the two previous periods of his writing, the two previous styles, let's call it, yeah? And two, he allows them to flow over him within a cultural context that's basically in his memory, and a cultural context which is the context of him in mental hospitals. Let those two contexts flow together in a new sort of verse, combining those two previous stages.
Here is a short poem from Bixley Remedial School called Politické názory, Political Opinions.
The Battle of El Alamein left many red and bloody stain. I'm teaching Rebecca the kitten. The Allies won, Rommel was beaten. Válka je jenom pro čerty. Better is peace and liberty.
The The English in this poem is not a translation. Blatný moved freely in his poetry between English and Czech, relishing the puns and complexities that emerged. The second-to-last line, Válka je jenom pro čerty, could be translated as War is just for devils, and then, with typical cross-language quirkiness, Blatný makes the word čerty rhyme with liberty. For Blatný, this is not just a postmodern game. As an exile, almost completely cut off from his language as well as his cultural context, Blatný spent 40 years in Britain leading a kind of suspended life in various asylums, while his mind moved freely and sometimes anarchically across the borders of language and culture. Distant memory and the monotony of daily life in the hospital mix. Here is an odd little poem where the complexities of English itself become part of the poem. It's called Both, and the pines it refers to is a pavilion in the grounds of the hospital.
If it were morning in the pines, I could take gunpowder. It is afternoon on Bixley, or at Bixley. The prepositions in English are a trouble. God never made a serious error or blunder. On or at, I think both are right.
A fully annotated new edition of Bixley Remedial School has just been brought out by the publishing house Triada. Even if you can't read Czech, you'll still find plenty of poetry here in English, or in various combinations of English with other languages. God the linguist teaches us to breathe, Blatný writes in one of his poems, and there really is something immensely refreshing about his writing. Interestingly, the collection has been edited by the same team that published the very first edition of Bixley Remedial School in Samizdat back in 1982, after Blatný's old friend, fellow poet and artist Jiří Kolář had arranged for a copy of the manuscript to be smuggled into Prague. On the team, then and now, was Antonín Petrželka.
Rukopis jsme dostali přes Jiřího Koláře, přivezla ho Erika Abrahams.
Jiří Kolář sent the manuscript from Paris via Erika Abrahams, who gave it to the poet Zbeněk Hejda, who then got in touch with me and Vratislav Ferber to ask if we'd like to publish it. Of course, we couldn't go to see the author to consult with him, because if the authorities had found out, it would have threatened not just the whole project, but also other Sazmidat projects. So we decided to publish the manuscript exactly as it was. We decided to rely on the text itself. In a sense, this became a great advantage, because we remained very faithful to Blatný's manuscript. One curious thing about the project is that I think it's the only case where a literary text written by a Czech author abroad was smuggled into Czechoslovakia and then appeared as a first edition in Czechoslovakia. Usually it was the other way around. A text would be written here, and if the author couldn't or didn't want to publish here, he would send it to the so-called West, and it would be brought out by exile publishers.
A tam vyšli v těch exilových nakladatelstvích.
So this led to the curious paradox that in communist Czechoslovakia, copies of Bixley Remedial School were circulating secretly before anyone in the West had had the chance to read them. Soon afterwards, an edition did come out in Canada, edited by the exile poet Antonín Brousek and published by Josef Škvorecký's publishing house 68 Publishing. But as Zbyněk Hejda points out, that it differed from the original manuscript.
Pomocná škola Bixley, která vyšla v Torontu, je...
The Toronto version of Bixley Remedial School is a compilation of poems that Blatný appears to have sent to Škvorecký, but the editor, Antonín Brousek, chose and arranged them according to his own ideas, so the two editions were radically different.
Pomocná škola a jejich pomocná škola radikálně liší.
But with the new edition, the original Samizdat team have returned to Blatný's original manuscripts, and the outcome reinforces what we have already long known, that Blatný was meticulous in detail. Antonín Petrželka.
Samozřejmě to torontské vydání je jako velmi zajímavé.
I've got nothing against the Toronto edition, but Brousek did make various alterations that I don't think can be justified, so we have tried to undo those changes. I can give you an example. Here in front of me I have the poem, To Speak is Silver. In the original manuscript it only has 6 lines, but in the Toronto edition, because of a mistake by the editor or in the layout, The poem has 9 lines. In the original, only the 3rd line is short. It goes, "To let fall the anchor." And that's the core of the poem. But in the Toronto version, other lines are also cut up, so you have "after my death" on a separate line, which puts an excessive stress on the idea of death and time passing. And "motionless in the inlet" is also put on a line of its own. So returning to the original script really is logical, useful, and it shows the author as someone who is calm, who is well aware of the difference in impact between a short and a long line, and that he knew what he was doing.
A že tedy věděl, co dělá.
Here is the whole of that poem, in a translation by Martin Tharp. The last line, "Long John Silver, that's me," in typical Blatney fashion, is in English, even in the original.
To speak is silver. The hunt for treasure continues on all islands. To leave at least a map for them to find it after my death. To let fall the anchor. That the pirate ship could stand motionless in the inlet. Crossed bones and skull on the black banner. Long John Silver, that's me.
And finally, I should add that if you find the polyglot or macaronic, to use the technical term, nature of Blatney's poems a bit too much, there is also a selection of his poetry in English translation, published by Ugly Duckling Press in 2007 under the title Ivan Blatney, The Drug of Art.
That was David Vaughan with the latest edition of Czech Books. Thanks for that, David. And now we jump from literature to science with Christian Falvey, who has the latest science journal for us.
Czech scientists from the Institute of Molecular Chemistry are working on treating a tricky ailment of Africa. Sleeping sickness is carried by the tsetse fly and affects a region inhabited by 60 million people. One of the people who may be on the way towards conquering the illness is Matyáš Šíma, who explains why sleeping sickness is much worse than it sounds.
Actually, disease takes place in Africa. Around 60 million people are in the risk areas, and actually it causes by a unicellular parasite named Trypanosoma brucei. And it's a really serious disease. It's transmitted by a vector named tsetse fly. And if it's untreated, it's fatal, actually, almost in 100% cases. So it actually multiply in the blood of the patients, and then can get to the brain where it's really, when it can cause really serious pathology. And that's why it's so serious disease.
And you're in the early stages of finding a treatment, but there are other treatments now. So what is the difference? What have you found?
We are not looking exactly for treatment. This is just primary research of the genes which controls this disease in the patients. Actually, we use mice, but there are some treatment, but these drugs are really old, and there is also problem with side effects and. Actually, this disease has 2 main stages. First, when it multiplies, this parasite multiplies in the blood and in the cell fluid, and then can go through the hemoencephalic barrier to the brain. And then the second stage became. And there is the problem, because the treatment of the second stage, when trypanosoma is already in the brain, has really serious side effects, and there is mortality about 12%, and half of these patients actually died because of treatment, not because of the disease itself. So try to find actually the genes which control this disease to understand some new mechanism of interaction between immune system of the host and the parasite, and it can lead to finding a new treatment, and also it can lead to understanding how the immune system works in more general level. So that's what we are doing, and we are still in the beginning, because we found just segments which should on the DNA, which should contains these segments should contain genes which control this disease. But we don't know these genes yet. We know just this segment. We call them loci, and we found actually four of these loci, and one of these loci is really short, on the 26 genes, and we hope it can lead to discovering some new things. But it's still beginning, yeah.
According to Czech television, at least, no Czech has ever contracted sleeping sickness. So what was the impetus for your research?
This disease is really neglected. It's a disease in Africa where there's not so much money. And it's the main topic of our lab. This is just side project for us. It's Leishmaniasis, which is also not in the Czech Republic, but it's more closer than the sleeping sickness, of course, because it's in the South Europe. And actually, we use the same model of the mouse, same strains of the mice as we use for Leishmaniasis, and it works. So we just use the opportunity to investigate this. I think it's really necessary to actually research these neglected tropical diseases which are in Africa, because there they can't do this research because there's no money. So we're glad that we get some money from the grant agent and so on to help them.
That was Matyáš Šíma of the Institute of Molecular Chemistry. It's a great month for plasma physicists in the Czech Republic, who have just opened their new plasma technologies laboratory, and for the many applications that will enjoy the fruit of their labor there. To tell us more about the new facility is its director, Pavel Hraska, formerly the head of the Institute of Plasma Physics at the Czech Academy of Sciences.
Laboratory of Plasma Technologies has been officially opened in the mid of March, on 15th of March, by the president of the Academy, Professor Drahoš. And it's a really new, modern facility, quite comparable to similar laboratories around the world. And probably what will be done there, let's say it's something like intersection of two modern trends of today's world. The first is the plasma technologies, as the name of the laboratory is saying. Plasma technologies is maybe there are hundreds of processes where plasma is either the main tool or some kind of a supporting tool enhancing the process. And some of the processes have been around for maybe a decade, two decades, even three decades, but it's rather still, some people call it Edisonian process. You know, it is used because it works, but not everything behind, I mean, the physical and chemical mechanisms of the processes are clear. And we have this plasma technology. As I said, there are many different plasma technologies, and in materials engineering is especially plasma spraying or some plasma enhanced physical vapor deposition and other techniques. And we will have this plasma spraying technique at our laboratory. And then we will have another technique, which is really very modern and will be the first machine in the Czech Republic. It's called Spark Plasma Sintering. So these are two plasma technologies in this new laboratory. And this technology will, let's say, allow us to work in the second modern trend in materials engineering, which is making or preparing materials on a request, or tailored materials, or how you want to tell it. It's material which the designer needs to fulfill his wishes.
And some of the equipment and processes being used there are Czech specialties. Is that right? Can you tell me more about them?
That's correct. This plasma spraying system, which is there, is based on Czech unique so-called water stabilized plasma system, which has been developed here in the Czech Republic. There are not so many around. There are many commercial units around the world which are based on gases, so-called gas stabilized systems. But these water stabilized systems, there are quite a few in Japan. For instance, we have sent one machine to US, to Belgium, to France, and to different countries. But it has a special niche for that use. Not everybody knows about this technology. So now we will be happy to show that technology in the new laboratory to anybody.
And will the new laboratory bring more commercial applications here to the Czech Republic, do you believe?
We are the Institute of the Academy of Sciences, so our main goal is to work, to do research or science, let's say. But consequently, I am sure that the interest about this technique will be growing, and then the people interested will maybe try or not try. They will just order, this technology, and we are in contact with some companies here in the Czech Republic, and that companies are prepared to manufacture that and just commercialize it.
That was Pavel Hraska, director of the New Plasma Technologies Laboratory, ending that edition of Science Journal. Tune in again next month for more news from Czech science.
This edition of Science Journal was brought to you by Christian Falvey. Thanks for that, Christian. Finally, rounding off our weekend program today is David Vaughan with From the Archives.
In the course of 1969 and 1970, Czechoslovak radio was transformed back into what it had been in the 1950s, a tool of hardline propaganda. In the process, over 700 radio staff were forced to leave their jobs. Those who stayed found their freedom of expression severely curtailed. To give an idea of the extent to which things had changed by August 1969, the first anniversary of the Soviet-led invasion, I'll start with a short extract from Radio Prague's broadcasts back in 1968, as the tanks rolled into the city. At the time, the radio was playing a crucial role in keeping the world informed of what was really happening, including reports of violent incidents as the invading troops opened fire on civilians.
Sad news has reached us from the North Bohemian town of Liberec, where deplorable incidents and conflicts with the occupation armies have taken place today. The clash is reported to have ended with 6 dead and 47 wounded Czechoslovak citizens.
Exactly a year later, we can hear a very different message from Radio Prague, as it reports on the huge protest demonstrations to mark the first anniversary of the invasion. Unnervingly, the following report is read by the very same announcer we have just heard reacting with horror at the brutality of the invasion the year before.
Crowds of walkers began to form, and in order to cope with the confusion, riot units had to use batons, tear gas, and water from fire hoses. This continued on Thursday afternoon and evening. However, police and army units and people's militia had been well prepared, and by Thursday night, the situation was fully under control.
Using the heavy-handed techniques that became so familiar in the years that followed,
Czechoslovakia's new hardline leaders made it clear that they had the country firmly under their thumb, and that included Radio Prague's broadcasts, which in August 1969 towed the official line quite uncritically.
So after those few excited days, we're now able to pose the question, what is the result of all this? On the one hand, the sum is discouraging. 5 people dead, a number of wounded, material damage in the streets, and on public installations. On the other hand, the result is a failure for the forces that are openly hostile to socialism. The bulk of the population, the workers in the first place, could not be persuaded to stage a massive strike or some other national demonstration.
The process of discrediting the reforms of the Prague Spring accelerated at a pace, and in 1970 the radio went so far as to broadcast a whole series devoted to proving that the reforms of 1968 had been hijacked by rightist reactionaries. Here is a short extract.
V pořadech rozhlasu a televize, na stránkách novin a časopisů,
in radio and television programs, in newspapers, in magazines, engaged journalists are continuing to expose the real intentions of those right-wingers. On the basis of factual evidence, the public is beginning to understand that the seemingly noble words of those people concealed nothing but careerism and anti-humanism, goals that have nothing at all in common with socialism.
Ale i antihumanistické cíle, které se socialismem neměly vůbec nic společného.
By 1970, the process of turning the Prague Spring into a counter-revolution was more or less complete.
That was David Vaughan with From the Archives. Thanks for that, David. Of course, all our programs and others are available at our internet address, radio.cz. And if you have any comments, we are, of course, always pleased to hear them. You can either contact us by email to english@radio.cz or find us on Facebook, where we have a profile under the name of Radio Prague, or you can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. Also, make sure to check us out on Twitter. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.